It's a sure pleasure to be here. I've been blessed tremendously, probably more than anyone here. I want you to know that. And God has blessed me tremendously this week. All the food's been great. The fellowship's been great. And if you wasn't here, I want you to know you missed something. You missed something. I know some sick, they can't come and things like that. But, boy, you should have come. You would have been blessed. I'll guarantee you. It's been a real blessing being in the services this week. And if a church has a missions conference, you ought to try to come to every service. And that's a tremendous thing. It's calling together and coming together to talk about the Great Commission. And it's a Great Commission, reaching all nations, like Brother Ziner read all those verses this morning in Sunday school, about reaching all nations for Christ. It's a wonderful thing. Turn in your Bibles, please, to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. We're going to cover chapter 8, 9, and 10. Not verse by verse, but main portions of it. And if you would stand, we'll read the first five verses of chapter 8, okay? 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for an opportunity to be here. God, we thank you for an opportunity to bow our head and our heart this morning to a wonderful God in heaven that loves this whole world and the one that created it. And Lord, He loves each and every one of us. And Lord, if you're here and you're unsaved, God loves you. He wants you to be saved today. We ask that you bless. And Lord, the faith promise, I pray that you'll work in our lives today. Help us to understand it clearly and help us to do and be obedient to your will in that area. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And we see the churches here, the churches of Macedonia, you can be seated, churches of Achaia, church we just talked about in Corinth. There, all the churches was involved in this thing of giving to the saints, giving to the poor saints at Judea or Jerusalem. And that started the thing of faith promise. And we'll see at the end today that faith promise actually turned into reaching out into the world with the gospel. In chapter 9 and chapter 10 plainly states that they was reaching people with the gospel of Jesus Christ through the offerings that was given. And so they started out, there was a dearth in the land, they had a need of money, actually people starving to death. And let me tell you something, people are starving today by not having the Word of God. People are starving to death without the Word of God. And I think that is probably the greatest thing that we can give them, is hope of salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. Any place in the world, the Great Commission is the whole world. And sometimes we have bad feelings. You know, sometimes I have bad feelings against my president. But that doesn't mean that I should not love him and pray for him and want him to be saved. Amen? Same way as the Muslims. We might have bad feelings against the Muslims, but let me tell you something. Jesus died for them too. Amen? And we need to get ourselves to the point that, hey, we look like the world through Christ's eyes, and hey, He loves the whole world. And Jesus died for the sins of the whole world. Not just mine, not just yours, it's the whole world. And we as a church need to understand that. And we used to, you know, the slanted-eyed people, you know, we used to say things. But let me tell you something, Christians When you get saved, we need to clean that up. We need to look at people not to be prejudiced, not to put people down, and they are equal with us. And Paul believed in equality in people. And that is what Christ would want, is equality in people. It doesn't matter if you're poor. God loves you just as much as one that has lots of money. Amen? It doesn't matter. Matter of fact, when I got saved, I had quite a bit of money. And actually, I couldn't serve God well enough with the money, and I gave it away. I owned two houses, didn't owe one dime on them. I gave them both away. I don't even own a house. I don't need one. My house is up there. Amen? I gave the earthly ones away. Now let me clarify that, because you think I'm a nut. I have two daughters. And I gave one to one daughter, one to the other daughter. I don't even have a house. Don't own a house? Hey, I've got two houses. I can just go stay anytime I want. Amen? I travel so much, I don't really need a house. And I gave those houses away. They're not deeded in my name. They're deeded in my daughter's names. You know, most people, boy, we see finances, we want to cling. You know? Hold it long as you can. Matter of fact, some people like to take it to the grave. Folks, really, it means nothing. Our treasures should be laid up in heaven, where moth and rust does not corrupt and thieves can break in and steal. Now, I know we have to pay our bills, and I'm all for that. I don't know in my whole life that I've ever left a bill unpaid. I don't know of one that we're even late on in all of our life, my wife and I. So I'm not against money. Not at all. I think it's very necessary to have. But remember, it's all His. That's what I'm saying. It's all His. And if you can't serve God well enough with it, you ought to get rid of it. Maybe I was too unspiritual. And it's why I couldn't handle it. Amen? But I saw it as a distraction in my life. And I got rid of it. And simple as that. And I haven't had any in so long. But God has supplied my every need. Every need. And I believe it has kept me closer to the Lord by not having it and by seeking Him to get it. And praying and seeking the Lord to get what I need. And when we came home from Australia, we didn't have a car, and we'd been over there 6 years. We had no money, not one dime. And we asked God, we said, Lord, you know, we're going home. We travel a lot. We'd like to have a decent car. I hate to work on cars, don't you? It's just terrible. A lot of dirt and grease there, and it just ruins you. Especially suits. It's not good to get under a car with a suit on. It just don't work too good. Well, we prayed. We asked God when we got home to allow us to get a car that was decent. And so just before we started home, my brother Bob called me, and he said, Brother, he said, do you need a car when you get home? And I said, yeah, we need a car when we get home. And he said, okay. Said, I'll have one up in your driveway when you get home. And said, you can use it. And don't owe us a dime, he said. I'll give it to you. Well, you know how missionaries, no, you don't know, but lots of you know how missionaries think. It's an old rattle trap, amen? I won't be able to get to meetings with it, I'm sure, amen? Well, I got home. And this brand new Impala Super Sport with that engine that's over and under, that on the road you get about 35 miles to the gallon, was sitting in the driveway. I would have never dreamed that had been my car. $34,000, I found out and checked in the glove compartment later, that he paid $34,000 for that car. And it was sitting in the driveway, and he gave it to me. Now, say what you want. You know, God said He'll supply your needs. And sometimes I'm afraid we get too selfish and we have lots of wants. And God said He'll take care of your needs. He didn't say He's going to spoil you. And I don't think if you're right with God, He could spoil you anyway. Amen? Now, if we love Him truly the way we should, I don't think He could spoil us. Because we know where it's coming from. That's the whole key. And Missions Conference is not about me. It's not about Brother Springer. But it's about this church. That's every person and member of this church coming together and making a statement by your giving of how far the missions can go and the gospel can go in this world that has a great need. And that's the thing. And it's not a place, we don't poor mouth. You know, used to when Faith Promise started, I tell you what, I got sick of the poor little lady that went to the grocery store and got her Faith Promise down there by the sales. You know? Now, maybe that's the way you do it. But I'm saying we told stories when in essence we need to magnify the God of heaven that gave us the Great Commission, gave us salvation, and wants us to be a part and joining Him in taking it to the ends of the earth. Amen. That's what it's all about. It's not about all those, that car story I just told you. It's not about that at all. But I'm just saying, God will supply all of our needs. And that's what He promised us. And let's go to verse 1. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, that in a great trial of affliction and the abundance of their joy. Now, to me, those two words don't go together. I tell you what, Christian, one thing that we pass up preaching on enough in our churches is Jesus came and Jesus suffered. He suffered on this earth. He suffered as He went to the cross. And when I got saved, I had hardly ever suffered at all. But over the years that I've been saved, I've learned that there's an actual ministry in our life as a Christian that we should study and learn a bit about. It's suffering. Suffering a bit. And suffering, I think, should be a part of Christianity. And sometimes we don't preach on it enough. We don't understand it enough to know really what it's all about. But suffering is a part of the Christian life. And what it does, it brings us to the Lord, closer to the Lord. And suffering's part of it. I don't know what yours is and what you're suffering through. But let me tell you something. Don't feel bad about it. Embrace it. And ask God to get involved in it and take it where it needs to go. I mean, that's the whole thing of suffering. Embrace it. Same as death. Folks, death should not be a scary thing for us. Man, you should embrace it. And death should be a graduation for us Christians. Amen? To heaven. But these people was in trials, but they had joy. You know, I understand that. I understand that. I can go through trials, but still, in my heart, I have a joy for the Lord. Amen? There's a joy. The joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy in your heart is important. It's important to have that joy. It doesn't matter what you're going through. Everybody goes through trials. Everyone. And don't concentrate too much on your trials. Not that we don't want them solved, but concentrate on the Savior that allowed that trial to come. And come out better at the end. Amen? Don't come out worse. Some people don't go through their trials very well. They don't come out too good on the end. But in trials, these folks gave. Through their trials, through their suffering, they gave to the Lord. Amen? And the reason being, verse 3, "For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves." You know what? It's not me. It's beyond me. As it says on the card, my faith in His promise. It's God that we're depending on. It's beyond me, this thing of faith promise. But I tell you what, faith promise in my lifetime has taught me probably more about God than any other thing that I know of. And trials and suffering teaches you about God. And we need to embrace those things that teaches us to love God more and embrace them and learn, hey, it's about Him. It's not about me. It's all about Him. And so He's the one. And so we look at it. And the thing it is, verse 5 says, "And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own," what? "Selves." Let me tell you why we're not surrendered to God sometimes. It's our will. It's our stubborn will not give in to a holy and righteous God. We're stubborn people. And we're very stubborn. And when there's friction in the home, one blames one, the other one blames the other. Let me tell you something. It's both fault. It don't take... One can't argue. It takes two. It takes two to argue. And I found out, if I'm the head of my house, and I'm supposed to be the leader of my house, if my wife and I disagree on something, 99.9 times she gets her way. Because she is the weaker vessel, and I'm supposed to be the leader of the home and the stronger vessel. And 99.9 times I give in. And people say, "Oh, gee, you're not a very good husband or dad. Why don't you go ask my kids and my wife?" I can't tell you. Go ask them. You know, don't ask the man how great he is. Because he'll tell you. What am I saying? The will. Every one of my stories, I'm the greatest guy. I'm the best. Somebody else in the same story, they probably didn't fare as well. You know? It's that way. That's the way we are as humans. And we have to conquer that because we have to put that in the hands of God. And we have to put that in Jesus Christ's place. It's got to be in Him. That's the whole thing. They gave themselves, and when they gave themselves, you know, if you'll give yourself to God, you're ready to be what God wants you to be. And you're ready to give the right amount to faith promise that God wants you to give. You're ready to humble yourself and be a part of the Great Commission out of this church. See, that's the thing. Die to self. Die to self, be willing to do. Verse 7, "Therefore, as ye abound in everything," what's the first word? In faith. In faith. What do you think that utterance is? Utterance? To speak out about the gospel of the Lord. Amen? To speak out. What about knowledge? Do you know that knowledge you study, Peter? The knowledge that they're talking about is the knowledge of God. Knowledge of God. We need to have knowledge of God. And the more knowledge we have of God, is the better we'll want to serve Him. Because the more we know about Him, is the greater He gets. Because we cannot find any wrong in Him. And the more knowledge we have of God, is the greater we can serve Him. And so study about God. Get the knowledge of God out of the Word of God and study it. The knowledge, and in all diligence and in your love, to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. This grace, Brother Ziner touched on it, is the grace of giving. It's grace giving. This is what it's talking about. And only by grace can we give by faith to God. It's God's grace. And it could be called grace-giving promise. Amen? It's faith promise sounds better, doesn't it? And it's my faith. And so, but it's all because of Him, and it's His grace that we can give. And then our side is this in verse 8, I speak not by commandment. God hasn't commanded us to do it. He said, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. And faith promise to me has been a thing in my life that I've done for 37 years now. And my faith promise has grown bigger than my tithe. All because of this. That the more I read and study about it, is the more I want to give to it. Because of the effect of it and how it affects the world with the gospel. We was in our first missions conference with our third church, Harmony Baptist Church, and this Spanish guy came down and surrendered to full-time service. He'd been in Australia 35 years. He was from Spain. And you know what? He went back to Spain. And he's got a great work in Spain for the Lord and doing just a fantastic work for God in Spain. He came down. He surrendered his life to do. Now, guess how old this young fellow was? I know you're going to say teenager, right? He was 58 years old. And his wife, they had kids, grandkids, all of them in Australia. And they went to Spain, back where they came from, both. And doing a fantastic work for God. You know why? He said, because he fell in love with the Lord, he wanted to go back and reach his own people for Christ. A great soul winner he was in Australia too. Fantastic soul winner. But do you know what? He said, I want to go back and reach my own country for Christ. And that's what he's doing. Him and his wife is wonderful, wonderful Christians. They love God and they're building a great church. Last I heard, he was up to 175. He'd been over there 4 years at that time. He was up running consistently, 175, on their own building, just putting his life into his people, his own country, for God. And you know, God, if you're willing, He'll talk to you about that, what you can do for Him. He'll speak to you about it. He'll speak why. He'll speak in your heart. And it'll be a love that you have for God that'll motivate you to love others. I tell you what, in Australia, I dealt with some mean, rotten, nasty, ugly people. And I tell you what, you better treat them right, because God loved them too. He loves them too. And you studied the Bible and He said, hey, pray for those that despitefully use you. You know, our enemies. We're to love our enemies. Man, is that understandable? It's not understandable outside of God. The only way you could understand that phrase is one word, and that's God. There's no way man could understand that. I want to punch him in the nose, you know. Joan and Aaron, I led to the Lord. I baptized them. He was her son. Joan lost her husband. And I was visiting John. They'd just been saved a short while and baptized them, and they was growing in the Lord, and I was visiting them, going to read some scripture, and just a short time of discipleship. I got to the door, and I heard Aaron, her son, calling her names that no mother should even hear, let alone be called. And man, you know, preacher's got a loud knock, amen? I knocked loud. And he came to the door. And there's five steps. I'm on the second step, and he's up in the house looking down at me. And he looked down at me, and he said, "What do you want, man of God?" I'm talking about in a stupid voice that you wouldn't understand and hear, unless you heard it. Now, you think I didn't want to punch that guy out? Because I think he was demon-possessed or something. He's supposed to be saved. He was just right. I wanted to, belly flop, back flop him in the yard is what I wanted. And I said, "Please, God, let me do this." I begged God. I would have done it. No, I would have. But God wouldn't. 2 weeks from them, he was in the insane asylum in one of those straitjackets and drugged up that he was out. And the Lord told me to go down there and take the Bible and read to him. And you know what? I did what God said. I took the Bible down there and I read to Aaron the Word of God for days. I went in and read a few chapters of the Word of God to him. And all of a sudden, he came out of this. And he got right with God. Now, every time I visit Australia, he finds out I'm there. And he gets on the phone and he runs me down. And you know what he does? He said, "Pastor Case," he said, "I just called to say thank you because that Word of God that you read to me is still in my head and heart. And I read it every day." And said, "My mom's going to be with the Lord." And she said, "Thank you for coming to our house and leading us to Christ." Now, let me tell you something. I wanted to beat the tire out of it. What I wanted. But you know, God, when God speaks to you, you better obey. And sometimes what I want and what God wants is completely different. And we got a flesh here, and we better submit that thing to God. And the more we submit that flesh to God and walk in the Spirit, I tell you what, folks, he gets so much better. All the time, he just gets better and better. All the time, he gets better. Because I have never seen or read or heard anything that is contrary to what he says in his book, amen, that we live by. I mean, that's God. That's God. And we ought to know that. I tell you what, husbands, it'll make you a lot better husband if you just love God. Wives, it'll make you a lot better wife. Just love God. You know, you don't need 19 prayers and 42 counselors. You need to fall on your face and just say, "God, whatever you want today, I'm willing." You know, I'm willing. I'm willing. I'm willing to give to the missions of this church, whatever you want me to give. I'm willing to give it. Why? Because you loved me, and I want to show my love to you. And your heart is the world, and my heart should be the world. Amen? It's just not me. It's not about me. It's not about me at all. It's all about Him. And it would help every one of us if we realize, and we have problems and we're going to go home to them when you leave here. You're going home to your problems. But you know what? Why don't you understand and experience Him in a greater way today than you ever have before? You go home feeling a lot better. You'll still have the problems. It won't change that. But I tell you one thing. He'll give you the sweetheart and the good spirit to deal with those problems that you have. Amen. That's it. We all have problems. Every one of us. Mark it down. We have problems. Verse 10, and I was going to go through, what was it? 8, 9, and 10, right? We're not going to, as you can see. I think you've probably heard this scripture a lot. I'm going to stop right here, and I'll tell you why. Let's read it in verse 9 and 10. For ye know the grace of God, of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sake He became poor, and that ye through His poverty might be rich. And herein I give my advice. The Lord wants to give us some advice. For this is expedient for you who have begun before, not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. Now therefore, perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which you have. Here's why I want to stop there. The Lord said, it's expedient for me. Two times that's used in the Bible. John 17, I don't know the other time, but I know it's two times, okay? John 17 something. And this one here is the only two times that phrase is used in the Word of God. And both times, it's about Christ and His death, burial, and resurrection and what He did for us on the cross at Calvary. Because there could be someone here that's lost today. And wouldn't it be so sad that they came maybe to hear the gospel and get saved? And this preacher got up and preached and did not tell them how. Would you think that would be very sad? If you're here and lost, I want you to know something. God loves you as much as He does this preacher, and maybe more. And I tell you why He loves you. It was expedient. He used His sons as an illustration there. His death, burial, and resurrection on the cross. Because that's the gospel of God unto salvation. That's the only way we can be saved, is realize that, hey, we can't get there ourselves. But boy, would we not want to miss hell? And really, would we not want to go to heaven? And I'll tell you, you can do everything you want on this earth. And if you're lost, you're lost. And you can try to get there any way that you can. And you can work and work and work. But you know what God said? For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It's a gift of God. Not of works. Lest any man should boast. Amen? I could say, I'm a pretty good guy. If I could get there myself, I could pat myself on the back. I do too much of that anyway. We all do. But if you're lost, remember, Jesus loves you. He's already paid the price on Calvary. And the salvation that you need is free. And I remember my prayer when I prayed. I said, Father in heaven, please forgive me of my wicked sin and save my soul from hell. and take me to heaven when I die. You know, that was over 39 years ago, 39 and a half years ago, and I've never forgot that. And it changed my life, gave me a whole new perspective of life. The greatest thing that ever happened to me on this earth was when I kneeled my heart and head and knees and cried out to God to give me that free gift of salvation. You know why we can't? We just don't believe it because it's free. Most people lose it and don't get it and go on without it because they can't believe it's free. But folks, it is. It is. I want to tell you again, it's free. And you know how I know is God said it. If I believe it, I'm saved, amen. But just God said it, it doesn't make it wrong or right if I don't believe it. It's right. No matter whether I believe it or not, it's right. I do believe it with all my heart. I believe it. Would you today, would you, if you're here and you're lost, think about it. Think about it. Would you make your way to this altar and ask a wonderful God in heaven, because He loved you so much, He gave His Son to go to the cross and entombed and raised from that tomb, from dead, went back to heaven, and He sent the Holy Spirit that would want to live in your life right now. Think about it. And the preacher's going to come give an invitation. And if you're lost, would you please come? We're concerned about you first. Amen? And then we're going to take up a faith promise mission offering, giving, actually, on your cards. Preacher will explain all that. And we'll take that up as well. But please, let's deal, first of all, with unsaved. If you're unsaved, come. Hey, maybe somebody would just like to present themselves to the Lord today and in full-time service. Say, hey, I'm going to go forward. I'm going to just present myself to God. And He can use me any way He wants. And you know what? God will show you what He wants you to do. He will. Maybe you have some things in your life that you need to come put on this altar and give them to the Lord. I remember Brother Don Melton one time. He was bald-headed just like I am. And he thought he needed a wig. A hairpiece, I guess you'd call it, for a man. Amen. A wig for a lady. But anyway, he put that thing on, came to church, and the preacher preached. Oh, man, I saw Don. He jumped out of his seat, and he ran right down. And he took that thing off and laid it on the altar. He said, well, God just wants to accept me the way I am, and here I am trying to change it. And he got convicted. He just came and laid that thing on the altar. I don't know what yours is. I don't want you to take anything off. Nothing like that. But what about in your heart and life right now? Is there something in there just needling away at you? And frankly, you know what it is. And you haven't been willing to give it to God. You know what it is. But you've been holding on, holding on. You won't be successful. But if you give it to God, you will be successful. Amen? Let's bow our heads. Preacher, come. Lord, we ask that You bless the invitation. Bless, Lord, this time together as we make our faith promise. Help it to be, dear God, what You want it to be. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.